Good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Tonight on the show, we have Tan Sri Dr. Jamila Mahmood joining us. She's, of course, the Special Advisor to the Prime Minister of Malaysia on Public Health. We welcome her to the show and wish her happy International Women's Day. Dr. Jamila, thank you for joining us. Now, I'd like to begin our conversation with perhaps a bird's eye view of the vaccine, the national vaccine rollout as it's happened so far. Can you give us a quick assessment, your point of view, where you see we've excelled at, what we've done well, and perhaps what we may need to improve and we've learned from in the past few days of the vaccine rollout?
Thank you very much, Melissa. Assalamu alaikum and hello everyone, and happy International Women's Day to you too and all our women viewers as well. So the vaccine rollout is going according to plan, and as you are all aware, there is a very clear national vaccine immunization plan. Now, what has gone well is really the establishment of a task force, not just at the federal level, but also replicated at state and district levels. So in order for us to have a successful vaccination program, obviously it's all hands on deck. Now, we've had the opportunity now since the 24th of February when the vaccines first arrived and were given. We have been able to vaccinate basically the frontline workers as a priority and also some other groups. And to date, it has gone smoothly. And, you know, obviously these are large numbers, but I can give you the latest update as of 2 p.m. On the 8th of March. 3,852,934 people have registered. And this is a very good number compared to about 1.5 million initially. So I think we've almost doubled now the number of people registering just over the weekend. So we need to continue pushing for a greater number of registrations, because a successful vaccination program will need at least 70% of our population receiving the vaccines. So what we are trying to step up is the outreach to make sure that people know how to register, and this can be done at many levels. Obviously, MySejahtera is one way, but for those who don't have MySejahtera, the vaccine website, www.vaccinecovid.gov.my, has actually registered a lot of callers, and there's a hotline, and this has been one of the ways we accelerate. Now, the good thing as well with this initial phase is allowing us to test the logistics and the delivery of vaccines, as well as the administration of vaccines. And this will really set in place lessons that we will learn as we go into the next phase, and that's when the acceleration happens. Phase two and phase three will be talking about mass accelerations. So I can also say there are more than 600 vaccine sites that have been identified and prepared, and some are being prepared as we go along, so that it's not just health centers that are going to be used, but also community halls, stadiums, and so on and so forth. As we are now needing to ramp up personnel, we will be also calling for volunteers. We will need 6,000 volunteers a day to be placed in different vaccination centers to be doing support the registration and so on and so forth. And of course, volunteer vaccinators as well, including myself. I have registered as a volunteer vaccinator. So it is really, we will continue to improve as we move along. And I think, you know, programs like this, other social media and television programs and so forth will really help us to reach many people to inform them that they should come forward, register, and take the vaccines.
Right. So there's some reports, though, Dr. Jamila, about the rolling 7-day average, suggesting that it's lower than Singapore, Indonesia, and India. I mean, these headlines in the media, of course, do they concern you? I mean, is it, how do you want us to read these numbers?
Yeah, I think we got to also recognize that this first phase is quite targeted. It is really about healthcare workers, other frontline workers, because the first phase is quite a limited number of vaccines that are arriving. I don't think that it's a small number. I don't have the latest update figure today, but let me maybe reach into my phone now and tell you that as of 6th of March at midnight, sorry, and 7th of March at 12 p.m., we had already administered about 139,720, which is not bad. It's really not bad at all. And as this is very targeted, we don't have to rush because we know there's a limited number of vaccines. We will just continue administering them. And we are also looking into where they may be slow. We have seen Sarawak, for example, really doing very, very well. We are now, pairing Sarawak with other states to learn from each other what is it that they've done that has really accelerated it. And as you know, when we move into phase two, the GPs will be involved. PH Corp will be the one that will be reaching out to the GPs, and we'll be registering the thousands of GPs who will come forward and help us with the vaccination program. So that's when the acceleration will happen.
Right. Dr. Jamila, you said close to 140,000 vaccines administered on the 7th of March. Yeah. It's actually a slight dip from the 6th of March. Have there been concerns of wastage raised about the vaccine? I mean, if we're not vaccinating at a speedy enough rate, are we concerned about wastage of the vaccines?
No, I don't see why there's a dip. Oh, this is the data I have on my phone right now, so it may be not up to date, but so far we have not heard. Certainly I've been talking to my friends also in the health centers outside Selangor and Relap, so that's a good one, because we have the low LDV vaccines, the special vaccines. We have not heard of wastage as such, but we will keep an eye on this to make sure there is no wastage, and definitely we don't want wastage to happen.
A quick follow-up question, Dr. Jamila. You mm-hmm. said a little bit earlier that the number of registrations have been encouraging 3.89 million so yeah. far, and yeah. it's been a surge since the yeah. initial days.
Yeah.
Do you know what explains for this yes. Increase in uptake?
Yeah.
What's behind this?
Sure. I think the biggest surge happened because of the website and the hotline number. So as you call this number, you will be directed and guided through the vaccination registration. So a lot of people have actually registered on the website rather than on MySejahtera. Over the weekend, we've had people registering. So that has really created a surge. And now, very soon, I think we will be also announcing that, for example, you can register your parents and others on the MySejahtera. So you can have multiple registrations using one phone so that families can help register their loved ones and their elder parents and so forth. Right. And we will also be opening counters at the health centers and so forth. There will be people to guide as you come to the centers, and also when, if required, paper registration that will be done at these centers, that can then be, the data can then be transferred onto the digital platform.
Right, Dr. Jamila, because there is with the Pfizer vaccine, it's a double dose, and the double dose also creates problems. I believe in Britain they've decided to actually go with a single dose and space out the period between doses. Yeah. What is the position that the Malaysian government is taking on this?
Yeah, at the moment, we have a steady flow of Pfizer vaccines coming into Malaysia. So we don't feel that there is a need to space it out as per UK, which is doing 12 weeks, as you know, up to 12 weeks. We have not changed that view at the moment because, as you may have also heard, Sinovac has already been approved. There are others in the pipeline. So if you have about 3.8 at the moment registered, we will have enough to start moving the vaccines through the population. So it's a matter of also knowing that our pipeline is there.
All right. Dr. Jimena, if I may zoom out the conversation a little bit from the vaccine, the national rollout. You're also a member of the government of Malaysia's Economic Action Council, and much of this public health crisis has also led to an economic crisis. And there's been a lot of talk about this all of society approach to recovery. Since you're also on this Economic Action Council, maybe you can, you know, share with us what's being done to coordinate this all of society approach. Is there really a bird's eye view and inter-ministry coordination? Or are we still working in silos?
Well, just to share with you how the task force works, right? The COVID task force. This is chaired by the Prime Minister, and MKN is the secretariat for this, where all the different ministries sit together, sometimes on a daily basis in times of very heightened numbers. And of late, it has been every other day. And where the Director General presents the data, it is studied, it is discussed, and then the different roles and the different ministries then chime in to say, you know, what is pertinent to them and seeing how you can coordinate. So this has been going on since the onset of the pandemic. And this is separate from the Economic Action Council. But the Economic Action Council also has members who are part of this COVID task force. So some of the dialogue that happens in the COVID task force is also reflected in the Economic Action Council. I, for example, sit on both. Therefore, I am able to bring the health perspectives to both in terms of what I think, what I would advise, and so on and so forth. In terms of an all-of-society approach, I think this is absolutely critical because the management of a pandemic is not just dependent on whether you have health facilities and so forth. That's very, very important. But it's also about, you know, communities and people coming together and really, you know, the behavior change that's required, the non-pharmaceutical interventions. Basically, the virus needs a vector. If it doesn't have a vector, which is us, then there's no way that it can be transmitted. And if we are the ones who are transmitting others because of failure to comply to what is called the standard operating procedures, then that becomes a problem. So really getting a society to come together means that we have to make sure they understand. You know, it's about really getting them to be more aware of the risks, why it's important to have those SOPs in place. And what we've done now is part of this whole community outreach and community engagement, which is led by NADMA, the Disaster Management Agency, is that they've been engaging with, at, you know, state level, at district level, or the Jawatan Kuasa Kampung, you know, all the different committees, but also civil society organizations to really go out there and talk to people. And that same mechanism actually has to be employed to also talk to them about vaccinations and get them on board as well.
I mean, Jamila, one of the issues, of course, is that politicians have been talking about the timeline, you know, whether it's going to be the vaccination process, achieving 80% is going to be achieved by December this year, or it's going to take longer. Dr. Luqman Hakim Sulaiman actually, you know, sounded a cautious note, saying he doesn't think that it's possible to reach 80%. He thinks only 60-70%. And in fact, the herd immunity, which is, I guess, the end game of all this, is something that will take years to achieve. I mean, what is the sense of the science of this pandemic and how long we're going to have to live with it?
Yeah, so I think this is a global issue that is being discussed because you remember that the figure 70% is based on epidemiological models and calculations and is really theoretical, right? So some countries have been very successful, some have been less successful in trying to achieve that, you know, 70% at a rapid rate. So what I think we need to do is keep our eye on the target that is getting 70% by end of the year. And, you know, in any kind of vaccination program or rollout of any new program, it's easy to get the 50%. Trust me, it's easy to get the 50%. It's that last 20% that's going to be the tricky one. So this is where we really need, you know, society, all of society to come together. If you have received the vaccine, if you have registered for the vaccination, you know, each and every one of us. Imagine if we can influence 20, 30 people in our circle, then you can easily get to that 70%.
Right. Well, speaking of the all of society approach, Dr. Jamila, where what is your thinking about the debate around the involvement of the private healthcare sector in procuring and selling vaccine, this perhaps to, you know, to boost the national rollout for vaccine to achieve that last bit of herd immunity that you talked about. What is the government, how is the government thinking about the role of the private sector?
Yeah, I think no doubt the private sector are very critical. The health sector is not just the Ministry of Health and the public sector. It is also the private sector. As I mentioned earlier, the general practitioners will be enrolled soon to support, and there are thousands of GPs in Malaysia. But what is clear is that the government is providing the vaccine free and will compensate the GPs for, you know, administering the vaccine at a nominal sort of compensation. For any private sector to bring in a vaccine, particularly the ones that have not been procured by the government, for example, perhaps Moderna, they will still have to go through the process of NPRA endorsement, and that takes time. The jury is out at the moment. We are still in discussion at the vaccine committee on whether we should do this. But if we are going to get, you know, we are confident we can get 60% of our supplies by August this year, then that means that, you know, it's likely if we accelerate and we get people to register, we can possibly complete our vaccination target of 70% by the end of the year. I think, as I mentioned, 50% is usually easy. It's the last 20%.
Dr. Miller, because there is this issue of Sarawak and Selangor, both have, governments have signaled that they want to get their own supply. And I think, at least with regard to Selangor, there's a sense that their priorities are also slightly different in terms of what groups they think are important. Yeah. So they've talked about factories in this, right? Undocumented workers are a big part of the Malaysian economy. So what is the government's position on that? Are they going to support Selangor in its own efforts?
I think that what Selangor raised is a very valid point. When we look at the case distribution of COVID infections, we have seen that in actual fact, many of those who are infected are the younger age group, right? And the ones who are working in certain settings, as you know, there have been outbreaks in, you know, factories and so on and so forth. You will see that in the vaccine program, there are four categories mentioned, right? The healthcare workers, the frontliners, the second will be the vulnerable groups, the elderly with comorbidities, the third is, you know, the adults, and the fourth is the what we call the groups that where we want to manage outbreaks. So this actually is what Selangor is mentioning, the factory workers, you know, undocumented migrants and so forth. And you would have heard that last week, both ministers of health and minister of science have mentioned that that group may well move into phase the second phase as vaccines come in large numbers, so that we can then really try to bring the number of cases that are active down as well. So I think that we are having our meetings regularly, and this is going to be something we will discuss. I think that everyone's interest is to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And if we can also in the process control outbreaks, then that's even a double bonus.
Dr. Jamila, I mean, the final question for you is, you know, where do you see the country going in terms of opening up? If the vaccination program proceeds, and if I look at my own Mysore Jatra timeline, it suggests I'm going to get a vaccine certificate. Beyond the group of us who want to go on holidays, there are literally hundreds of thousands of Malaysians that could not access Singapore and the Singapore economy and those wages who are suffering now. What specific things are being done for the thousands of Malaysians that work across the border in Singapore and such?
Yeah, for Singapore, there is the reciprocal green lane that is already in place, and also periodic commuting arrangements. These have already been discussed with and agreed with the government of Singapore. So these are very specific groups. As far as the vaccination program, what the end point is, I think that, you know, you mentioned earlier, how do we live with this vaccine? I think for sure it will take time for the entire world to be rid of, you know, this high number of cases. But if we can get our populations, you know, vaccinated, and I, as I mentioned to you before, you know, 70% is a calculated theoretical number, and you know, who knows, it could be, you know, in reality, if we bring the numbers down, there's less viral load to infect people, then, you know, we may get to herd immunity earlier, or we may even need 80%. We don't know, and I think the science is still, you know, we're targeting, but we hope for the best, right? But I think what is important is that, you know, we continue with our behaviors of wearing a mask, and, you know, getting a vaccine doesn't mean you just throw your mask away and you start, you know, hugging everyone. I think we still have to wait until we see the numbers really come down, and the Ministry of Health will also be doing probes and looking at antibody levels and so on and so forth, so we have a better understanding and really work on evidence and science for us to, you know, to guide our decisions on when we lift, you know, all these restrictions.
Thank you so much, Tan Sri, for joining us today, giving us a sense of how our government is thinking through this very important issue of the day. Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sharad, and thank you, Melissa.
That's all we have for Consider This tonight. I'm signing off on behalf of Melissa Idris and myself. See you tomorrow. We'll be right back.